It's a Thursday morning, and we didn't get it last week. Luckily, Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers, fully recovered and on the line with us today. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. Well, how you doing, buddy? Are you recovered fully?
I got a little bit of a tinge left, but my voice is back. So yeah, I'm feeling fine. I actually felt pretty good even last Thursday. I just couldn't talk. So it's a bad feeling when you talk for a living and you can't talk. So people around the house, I think, enjoyed me not talking.
I know the feeling, Mike. So why don't we talk about the big win for the Gophers on the road against Penn State? 7.5-point dogs. They win outright. Was this the ugliest start to a game that you've seen the entire season?
Yeah, there have been a few of them, right? The Gophers have a 16-point half. They have a 14-point first half. This one, they had a 21-point first half. But it was Minnesota leading 4-0, like 6.5 minutes into the game. They didn't give up a bucket. And then, you had Penn State going a 7-0 run to take the lead. So all this great defensive work the Gophers did to start, I guess if you want to call it great defense, neither team was shooting great, but let's say the Gopher defense was great. They pitched a shutout for almost 6.5 minutes, and in like a 2-minute span, it's all wiped away and you're behind 7-4. And then they never let again until like the 8:45 mark of the second half, and then they just they closed it out. So it was a pretty ugly start, and quite frankly, most of the game was ugly, but at this point, if you're Minnesota, you take any win you can get. They definitely, for this team to win games, they do need to kind of muck it up a little bit. They got to play physical. They got to play kind of ugly. They got to knock guys and players off their spot. I thought when you look back at the wins, like, and then really the two road wins, especially at Iowa and at Penn State, they really were physical, not just defending on the ball, but away from the ball. Like they kind of do what Michigan, try to do what Michigan State and Purdue have done for years, and that is when you don't have the ball, make it tough to get the ball, get in the way, be physical, wall up, and they did that pretty well on Tuesday night.
They only shot 14 three-pointers in that game. In today's world of basketball, even at the college level, I find that to be incredibly shocking. They still managed to get the win. But when you play teams like, for instance, Illinois coming up on Saturday, you got bested by Michigan State. Oregon's of the world, they managed to win that game. Can they sustain the success that they've had over the course of the last, I would say, month by not being a high-volume three-point shooting team?
Yeah, I think they have to be careful because they're not a great shooting team. So, like Illinois, for example, is not a great team, and they're taking all kind. They're a great team, but they're not a great shooting team.
Yeah,
and they've gotten into this situation where they're just shooting threes almost every trip down the court. Even last night, I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched some of that game. They were like 3 for 17 in the first half, and percentage wise, they're like a 28% 3-point shooting team. So, just because the analytics tell you that, you know, hey, you should be shooting a bunch of threes, and you watch the Timberwolves, you know, and they shoot 50 a night, it doesn't necessarily turn into wins, right? I think the Gophers are probably massaging that you know, trying to find that mesh point where, I mean, you can't not take threes. You need to hit some, and they hit some big ones. I mean, Mike Mitchell's back-to-back threes were the turnaround of the game. I thought in the second half, the one put them ahead, and then Rigsby hit a couple key ones as well. So you got to take them, but I also think you got to be smart. If you're getting twos that are open, and you got a guy like Dawson Garcia who can shoot the three. He's pretty dang good at that. But he has been so good and so efficient from 2-point range. And he started the game 1 for 6 the other night and then finished 6 for 9. And the Gophers finished this game. This is the most incredible stat that I have seen no one talk about. Not that a lot of people are necessarily just gushing about Gopher basketball at this point, but the Gophers hit 9 of their last 10 field goal attempts in that game. I mean, if you make 9 of your last 10 shots, I mean, basically all you got to be is in the game and you're going to win it, right? I mean, 9 out of 10, they were like 16 of 23 in the second half. So I don't know if you have to take a whole bunch of threes to win, particularly if you're just an okay shooting team. I think the Gophers play Illinois this weekend, and I'll do a much deeper dive tomorrow into that game. But I'm really going to dive in and look at what Illinois is doing, because a month and a half ago, 5 weeks ago, they looked to maybe be the best team in the country.
Yeah.
Remember, they killed Oregon out there by 40, worst home loss Oregon ever had. At that point, we thought Oregon was, you know, a top 10 team. As it turns out, they have not been very good, including losing at Minnesota, and I think they're like 1-6 in their last 7 games or something like that. But they won that game. I forget who else. I think they beat Wisconsin. They had things rolling. And, I mean, they're still fine. They're clearly a tournament team. They're ranked in the top 25. But they lost last night to a pretty mediocre and very young Rutgers team. And, again, some of it may have to do with trying to figure out who they want to be. Do they want to be a three-point shooting team, even if they're not a great three-point shooting team? So we'll find out. But that's a long answer to your question. I think the Gophers have to muck things up. They have to slow things down, and they have to be pretty efficient on offense. And if that means you got to score 2 at a time instead of 3 at a time, maybe you take that.
Speaking with Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm here on Upon Further Review. This is a team that's had quite the prolific turnaround since that loss near our nation's capital at Maryland. They lose 77-71. That was back on January 13th. Since then, they've won 4 of 6. It should have been 5 of 6, honestly. I thought it was an inexcusable loss against Washington. Even where the Gophers sit, I thought that they shouldn't have lost that game. Still, what have you noticed is the turnaround since they went on this 4-game losing streak in the Big Ten, since it took them so long to get their first Big Ten win? The Dawson Garcia shot sort of jump-started this season, if you will. What has been the biggest difference for this team where they can start finding, or they have had this success over the course of the last month?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can put my finger on any specific thing. Remember, though, it was really after that Wisconsin game, which was part of that Maryland trip. Because I thought they played well at Maryland. I mean, that's a good team.
Oh,
that's an NCAA team. To lose by 6. At one point, I think Minnesota had like a 9-point lead in the first half. They had a 7-point lead early in the second half. But they were coming off that, whatever it was. You know, at one point, they were down by 30 in Madison on that Friday night. That was, I think, was that the first Friday in January, I want to say. And it was just a horrific second half. That Minnesota was ahead early in that game by 10 at the Kohl Center, and then Wisconsin just blitzed them in the second half. And they had that long meeting afterwards, and I remember thinking to myself, man, I don't know if meetings at this point are going to help. They got to really figure something out here. And I don't know if it did, but they've been really pretty much a different team since, so maybe it has. They played well in that Maryland game, as you mentioned, and then they went on the 3-game win streak, including 2 overranked teams. And you're right, the Oregon game, that was just a bizarre game. The Washington game, I'm sorry, you're right. Just a bizarre game because they I didn't see the end of that game. Did Washington end up beating Nebraska last night? I know they were ahead late. And Nebraska won at Oregon earlier on that trip. So Washington, I will say this, Washington was playing close games. They were a little like Minnesota, playing some close games in there, and then all of a sudden they get a win. And that happens in the Big Ten. You win one, you win another. And I don't know what Washington did last night. Anyway, point being that when Minnesota went ahead in the second half in that game against Washington, I thought, okay, here they go. And then they just never could get out of their own way. They missed some free throws late. And before you knew it, you're driving home going, how the heck did that happen? That was kind of weird. And you're right. So they could be, I mean, you know, it's always what could be. Look, they won in overtime against Michigan. That game clearly could have gone either way. They pretty much handled Oregon from start to finish. They handled Iowa pretty much from start to finish. They led by, was it 17, I think, in that game down in Iowa City. The other night, you know, they pretty much controlled the second half at Penn State. I mean, you can go back if you really want. It's a little like the football schedule, right? I mean, they had the Ohio State game basically won, probably should have beat Washington. All of a sudden, you know, you have those two, and you're sitting here at like 6-5 and feeling really good about where this is. But there's still work to be done. They do have a soft remaining schedule. There's no doubt about that. This Saturday notwithstanding. But look, if Illinois is capable of losing at Rutgers, I see no reason Minnesota can't make a game of it this Saturday either with the Fighting Illini coming to town.
I think I kind of differ with your opinion on Rutgers here, and maybe it's just because they have Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, but I think that's a team where if they can figure it out a little bit, they can make a run in this Big Ten tournament coming up in March. But that's neither here nor there, Mike. You talk about this easy schedule coming up or softer schedule. You know, UCLA and USC, they're no, you know, layover games. You still got to go out to the West Coast and play really good basketball. Illinois is going to be tough, and you got to play Wisconsin again. But my question here is, we sort of saw the obvious talent discrepancy when this team went to Sparty Land. It was clear as day, this is one really good basketball team talent-wise, and it's another that just can't really put a hand to Michigan State. So how do they compete in this Big Ten world when we kind of assume, we kind of know, getting that talent versus the top of the Big Ten, it's going to be hard to do? Is it a Ben Johnson philosophy fix that he needs to make? Is it a recruiting fix, a transfer fix, whatever it might be? How do they start competing with these teams when they don't have the similar talent?
Yeah, well, I think it's two things. One, in terms of this year, the one thing I'd say is that they have the best score in the Big Ten. So, you know, I mean, we can talk about Rutgers having a guy, but in Big Ten games, Dawson Garcia is the leading scorer in the league. So they've got a guy that can score. And I guess if I'd go back and say, if there is one thing, Garcia took his game to another level after that Wisconsin game. I think that part of that meeting was as such. And he has eight straight games now of 19 or more points. He missed a free throw late the other night that would have given him eight straight 20-plus point games. That has not happened since Chris Humphreys has been here, and his shot making has just been incredible. I mean, he's shooting about 56% from the floor during that stretch. That includes 3-point baskets, and so that part, that gives him a shot. Like, that gives him a shot every night. If that guy's scoring 25 points, that gives him at least a chance. Now, long term, it really does probably come down to recruiting and name, image, and likeness, especially. And the Gophers just were deficient in that, particularly at the end of last year where they couldn't keep their guys. Like, if they keep their guys, if they had NIL funds to keep their guys, they were likely a borderline top 25 team, and we're probably not having a conversation about, you know, what is the future here, right? They lose Elijah Hawkins to Texas Tech, a team that's now in the top 15 in the country, or top 18, I think, in the country. They lose Pharrell Payne, who was their starting center, to Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I think, is a top 15 or 20 team in the country, and maybe the best league, weird enough, right? Football country and SEC, they might be the best league in basketball right now. And then Cam Christie was just a total surprise. We knew he was going to be a pretty good player, but he was so good. He ends up, you know, going, and he's been playing back and forth between the Clippers G League team and the actual Clippers, you know, and so you don't figure that. If those three guys come back, this team is, particularly in this year's Big Ten, I mean, the Big Ten's good, but I don't think it's as good as it was a year ago, and they would have had an opportunity. So now the question becomes, I think we talked about this maybe a couple weeks ago, the question becomes, all right, well, whose fault is it? Does the head coach have to go out and find money? Probably. P.J. Fleck has certainly done that in football in terms of going out and doing some fundraising on his own to help maintain and improve his roster. Where do fans fall in, and what do they feel their responsibility is? It's a very uncomfortable conversation at places like Minnesota, at places maybe even like Iowa, possibly still even Wisconsin to a certain degree, where that just has, you know, it's always kind of been, you know, that this is a place we're going to recruit because it's a great place to go to school. It's a good community to live in. Minneapolis offers a lot of stuff. Madison, Wisconsin's a great college town. You know, Iowa's got great statewide support. All those things that that were recruiting reasons why players may choose those places, well, now it's a money factor, and I think, quite frankly, all three of those places have fallen behind a little in name, image, and likeness. You look at what Chucky Hepburn's doing at Louisville, and that was a total NIL situation. Now, Wisconsin had been and has been much more established in Minnesota in their, you know, their long string of success here. And the transition from Bo Ryan to Greg Gardner, obviously they've had success, and so there's some recruiting benefits there that some guys may stick around. They really do count on guys that have been around and develop them, And they've got, you know, a senior laden group. So, you know, there's different ways to go about it. But at the end of the day, the uncomfortable conversation has to be, if you're the Golden Gophers and you're a Golden Gopher fan and you want to see them compete, nowadays it really is hard to be, let's just sit back and buy a couple tickets to three games a year and see what happens. It's really got to be a much more proactive approach. I'm not that comfortable with it myself, but that's the reality of it. Otherwise, you're just you're just going to be second rate in the Big Ten in this 18-team league. And so that's the bottom line. That said, also there is some strategic places to recruit, right? The Gophers have had off and on success. Okay, let a kid go play someplace from Minnesota, maybe not quite a Big Ten player, not sure. And then, maybe he is. Bring him back. That kid's going to probably come for less, right? Right now the Gophers roster is pretty inexpensive. But they're paying the price at probably not, you know, having much of a postseason future for this year. So that's always the muddle in the middle, so to speak. So quite frankly, that's where it's at long term. Short term, you got to hope Garcia continues. You got to hope they get hot. And you pull off an upset or two. And like you say, they got Northwestern. They've got Penn State again. They've got some teams that are in that bottom part of the Big Ten here in the last eight games. Mm-hmm. There's only eight games left in the year, amazingly enough.
That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. I'm going to save my question about recruiting that I have for next week because we're running out of time, but be ready for that coming up because I do have some questions about the in-state recruiting still. Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, always a pleasure, Mike. Love to have you on, and we'll talk next week. Have a good call on Saturday.
All right. Yeah, sounds good, Jake. Always enjoy it. Thank you.